Chapter 1. Introduction. Information is important to biblical creation and Christians. The Long War Against God, a title of a book written by Dr. Henry Morris, has been raging since Lucifer, Hebrew Halal, deceived himself into challenging God for supremacy and brought sin into the universe. This war is the kingdom of Satan against the kingdom of God, and in that war, one of Satan's weapons has been the destructive idea of evolution as the origin of the universe. The concept of evolution has one sole purpose: to destroy the foundation of God's Word and the belief in a personal Creator God. After all, if evolution can explain how the universe came into existence, why is a Creator God needed? The origins debate on the American front was heightened in 1925 with the Scopes monkey trial, where, interestingly, a high school teacher, John Scopes, was charged with teaching evolution via Darwin's theory rather than creation. William Jennings Bryan presented for the prosecution, and Clarence Darrow acted for the defense. Darrow's goal was to debunk fundamentalist Christianity. Darrow called Bryan to the stand and questioned him about his views on interpreting the Bible literally. He also got Bryan to admit that he knew very little about science. Interestingly, Darrow suggested to the judge that to save time, his client should be found guilty. It only took 9 minutes to find Scopes guilty. That was Darrow's intent. Since then, the teaching of evolution has gained ground in the public education system, higher education institutions, the media, numerous biblically Christian churches and schools, and even the United States government. Governments, both local and federal, have mandated the teaching of evolution as part of a science curriculum and excluded the teaching of biblical creation due to numerous legal rulings that uphold the separation of church and state. This has prevented the teaching of creation in public schools as a credible opponent to evolution. Evolution has been taught as a scientific fact, not just a theory. Many churches have attempted to combine evolution with the Bible somehow, claiming God used evolution as part of his creation process, theistic evolution and the gap theory, to name a few. Nothing could be further from the truth. One of the common misconceptions among evangelical Christians is the notion that the doctrine of creation is only a peripheral doctrine, important to scientists and philosophers perhaps, but not to ordinary lay Christians. Winning people to Christ and building them up in the Christian life, they think, are much more important. Furthermore, creationism is so controversial and generates such heated opposition whenever it is advocated that it is best just to ignore it. As long as one believes in God and that He created things, it really doesn't matter how He did it or when. But that is the traditional attitude of the head-in-the-sand ostrich. Creation is not a peripheral doctrine. In fact, biblical creationism is the most important of all biblical teachings because it is the very foundation of everything else in the Bible. That is why God put it as the very first revelation in His written word. Creation is not a peripheral doctrine. Genesis 1 is the foundation of Genesis, and Genesis 1-11 is the foundation of all Scripture. For over a century, Bible-believing Christians have sought the scientific silver bullet that would finally destroy Darwinian evolution and support biblical creation. To be sure, these Christians have known from God's revealed, infallible Word, the Bible, how the universe, the earth, and all life came into being. He spoke them into existence. This is written in Genesis 1, Exodus 20:11, and Hebrews 11:3, NASB. The Scriptures alone strongly refute Darwinian evolution, but in a world where secular researchers reject the supernatural and divine revelation, many Christians feel compelled to provide some kind of empirical, scientific, observable, and repeatable evidence to support the Bible's claim. There is a significant problem in showing empirical evidence for the universe's existence, as neither creation nor evolution is observable or repeatable, as both are said to have happened in the past. Empirical science alone cannot prove a miraculous one-time historical event any more than it can prove evolution. Instead, we must make assumptions based on historical data, but our conclusions are only as good as our starting assumptions, our presuppositions, in the investigation of origins. Empirical search and proof of a past event, historical science, is not possible using current operational science repeatable controlled experiments, and current observation. Christians should have faith and trust that God's Word teaches how the universe, the earth, and all life came into existence. This dissertation intends to take the operational science view to show that what we see in today's world totally discredits Darwinian evolution and similar evolutionary theories. Chapters 1 and 2 serve as the introduction and overview chapters, with more information to follow in the remainder of this dissertation. Evolution was never biblically or scientifically possible. Darwinian evolution, macroevolution, was based on a faulty assumption that there is no God and that the universe came into existence solely through materialistic means. Supernatural creation is based on facts revealed by the only eyewitness to the event, the Creator Himself, Jesus Christ. A person can indeed believe in God, yet believe in evolution simultaneously. The writer of this dissertation was initially one of those persons. This belief is called theistic evolution, but that is a false belief, as God clearly states in Genesis 1 that He did not use evolution of any kind to create the universe, the earth, or life. Sadly, there are stated biblical Christian churches in this country that accept theistic evolution as a possible origin answer. This statement is based on the author's experience speaking to hundreds of pastors, elders, and church attendees over the course of 30 years in hundreds of churches across the United States and Canada. This is one of the essential reasons why this dissertation is being written. It is important to recognize that the empirical evidence for biblical creation will not alter an unbeliever's mind. Why? Unbelief in biblical creation stems from how individuals interpret evidence through their worldview and presuppositions, not from the science or evidence itself. A person must ask themselves, does their worldview make sense of the world as observed today? And does that worldview give the correct interpretation of reality? Is the worldview that a person accepts and believes the same worldview they use to run their daily life? This dissertation states that for many people it is not the same worldview. God's Word states we should always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks, 1 Peter 3:15. In this verse, God requires all biblical Christians to defend their faith, and this is not a request. This dissertation will provide them with additional tools to perform the job. When witnessing or sharing their Christian faith with unbelievers, they must first challenge the unbeliever's worldview, naturalism, atheism, etc. A worldview is the big picture of how a person sees the world around them and how it operates in their lives. It is the reality they believe in, even though it may not be reality. It is our job to witness to these people and show that the biblical worldview makes better sense of our world and the reality we all live in, rather than the evolutionary worldview. They need to see for themselves that they do not really live according to their evolutionary worldview. In living their day-to-day life, unbelievers actually live within a framework of a biblical worldview, yet at the same time do not have a belief in God. How can this be? They live their lives according to the biblical principles that there is uniformity, continuity, and order in the universe, not accepting evolution's random chance and accident philosophy as governing their daily life. It is a conundrum and a contrarian belief. For example, if they are driving down a road and a deer jumps out in front of their car and they step on the brakes, what do they expect the car to always do? They expect the car to brake quickly to avoid hitting the deer. But in an evolutionary worldview, what should they actually expect to happen when they step on the brake? In an evolutionary random chance universe, they would not know what would happen. The car might stop, it might slow down, increase speed, or the brakes might not work at all. They could never know for sure what might happen in an evolutionary universe because it's random chance and accidents at work. Yesterday the brakes worked, but today who knows? That is what they should be thinking, but that is not how they actually think and live their daily lives. Unbelievers can live in a sphere of a biblical worldview, believing in and having confidence in the continuity and uniformity in the universe, and be confident that when they step on the brake, the car will rapidly decelerate and stop. This would not be the case in an evolutionary reality. They need to see this contrarian belief in their life. In short, they do not accept both God and a uniform universe, yet they have confidence in the continuity and uniformity in their daily lives that the brakes will always work to stop the car. That is an extremely contrarian viewpoint between how they believe the universe operates, evolution, accidents, and chance, and how the world really works, God, continuity, and uniformity. Biblical Christians should constantly challenge a person's worldview, showing this contrarian viewpoint that unbelievers have of reality versus how reality is really operating in their lives. Once their worldview is challenged, they can be shown their contrarian belief more easily, pointing the way to God as creator and supporting the biblical worldview. Evidence can be used to a certain extent in witnessing to an unbeliever, but challenging their worldview brings the biggest gains. After all, they need not believe the evidence a person presents. Any evidence presented to them is sifted through their evolutionary worldview and emerges as an evolutionary belief with reality removed. Unbelievers need to be shown that there is only a biblical worldview and a non-biblical worldview. A biblical Christian worldview recognizes and comes from the Scriptures. It is essential to note that not all truth is found in Scripture. God has not given us all His truth, but what we find in Scripture is truth. This is biblical creation apologetics at work. A key point to note is that changing a person's worldview involves changing a person's mind. This can only be done by God Himself. Challenging their worldview goes a long way toward changing their view of reality. Our only job is to defend the faith and to give an answer to all who ask us, yet do it with gentleness and respect. The Lord, through the Holy Spirit, can change their heart and minds, resulting in a changed worldview and a path to salvation. To be sure, considerable evidence for the biblical Christian worldview does exist in our world, but the authority of the Word of God is a primary defense. Based on this author's study and experience, the most potent scientific evidence that supports the account of biblical creation is the non-material entity of information and many other non-material entities. One might say that information was an engine of creation. The key to producing anything functional in the universe is information and the organization that results from it. Information is needed to build any organized, complex system, such as a machine, a spacecraft, a business model, the universe, and human and animal life. Without information, it would be impossible to make, do, or communicate anything. Information makes it possible for all life to exist, as it is the basic building block of all life. The following dissertation will present this reasoning. The importance of information as a non-material entity. An important question that needs to be asked is where all the information in the universe originated. There are only two answers: through a creator God, via biblical creation, or through materialistic natural processes, random chance, and accidents over a long period of time, evolution. To discover the original sources of information for the universe, we must first look to God's Word for the answer. In John 1:1, God's Word states, "In the beginning was the Word, Christ," and in Colossians 2:3, "In whom Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Wisdom and knowledge are essential components of information, as they form the basis of the wisdom and knowledge God provided humanity. According to this writer's biblical Christian worldview, all information contained in the universe comes through Christ, whether He created the material universe first and then inserted the information, or did both simultaneously. This writer adopts the simultaneous option because material entities require non-material entities to function. The sun, moon, and stars would not work without information controlled by the laws of science, physics, chemistry, orbital mechanics, thermodynamics, mathematics, etc. The non-material entities pre-existed in Christ before the creation in Genesis 1 because Jesus Christ is God eternal, and all things came into being through Him. This concept of the pre-existence of information is a vital point that is fatal to the fact of evolution, because in evolution the material universe originated first, and over billions of years all the information and non-material entities in the universe emerged during that long period of time. Here is one evolutionist's idea of how that might have happened, together with this author's comments. The Big Bang and the quantum physics information system. After the Big Bang, as the universe cooled, stable matter particles, such as electrons, protons, and neutrons, were formed from the high-energy fields, as determined by the special relativity law of equivalence for matter and energy. the baryonic matter particles, protons and neutrons, condensed out of a precursor plasma about 10 microseconds after the Big Bang. Comment: it seems that special relativity somehow came into existence immediately after the Big Bang. How did that happen? During the interval 0.01 to 300 seconds after the Big Bang, further cooling allowed the formation of the light nuclei of helium, heavy hydrogen, deuterium, and lithium. About 300 million years after the Big Bang, the first stars and galaxies formed as a result of the action of gravitational forces. Because of the mass of the stars, these forces were sufficiently strong to initiate nuclear fusion of hydrogen and its isotopes, which resulted in the emission of electromagnetic radiation in the visible spectrum. In other words, the first stars lit up. It is this radiation that carried and still carries important information about the structure of the stars, galaxies, and the universe itself, and thus made possible the science of astronomy. This radiation also created the energy source for the evolution and continuation of life on Earth, as well as stimulating the evolution of visual sensors in higher animals. These sensors contributed to the evolution of the ultimate information processor, the human brain. Comment: gravitational forces and the laws of science that govern stars and galaxies appear to evolve on their own and may have been precursors to the information processing capabilities of the human brain. The laws of quantum physics decide on how particles of matter interact with various types of fields, most importantly, the electromagnetic field. In fact, quantum physics can be thought of as the first and fundamental information system in that it allows matter particles to be aware of or know about each other's presence, even when there is no physical interaction between them. The wave function of quantum physics carries statistical information about the possible states of the particle, that is, the probability for its being in each of its different possible states of energy, motion, and location. It also makes possible the many subtle processes that allow particles of matter to act collectively to form higher levels of organization in atoms and molecules, including eventually the possibility of life itself. Emphasis by Hooks. Comment: somehow the non-material laws of quantum physics originated into being of their own accord. This included the processes that would later lead to the emergence of life itself. The molecular genetic information system of life. It is still by no means clear in detail how life emerged, but obviously an important step was the evolution of molecules that could trap and store energy through quantum processes. Initially, perhaps this energy was derived from thermal sources, but later from sunlight, and was then utilized to promote the chemical synthesis of more complex molecules such as proteins and the polyribonucleic acids, such as RNA and especially DNA. Whereas the proteins have both a structural and a functional role, such as enzymes, the DNA molecules form a molecular genetic system that codes the information to make the proteins. This led to the possibility of organisms reproducing themselves by reproducing copies of their DNA information molecules, which act as a blueprint to create a new generation. Comment: evolutionists still do not understand how life originated. Of their own accord, DNA and RNA came into existence in an unknown manner and were able to reproduce by making copies of themselves, using DNA/RNA as templates. DNA duplication is an incredibly complex process carried out by millions of molecular machines following coded instructions in living organisms. This will be presented later in this dissertation. The emergence of this molecular information system was obviously a crucial step that enabled evolution itself to take place. It allowed living forms to adapt to changing environments. It is even possible to show, using information theory, that the protein DNA system itself would have been that selected as optimal by evolutionary processes. Davies G., Lieutenant Commander, Royal Navy, retired, private communication, 1996. The development of information-gathering organs such as touch, smell, and sight, together with an associated information processing organ, like a brain, were also crucial for survival and the eventual emergence of different levels of consciousness, including that of our own species. Comment: all these extremely complex biological systems have evolved over long periods of time. So in short, the emergence of living systems depended on the complex interplay of matter, energy, and information. But the development of a molecular genetic information system was the crucial and revolutionary step that made possible the long evolutionary process that led to humankind. According to Hooke's The Laws of Science, the information in the universe, the non-material entities, and life-controlling DNA all originated independently, with no high-level guidance or direction. That is how human beings eventually came into existence. This is why information is fatal to the fact of evolution. As we will see in this dissertation, material entities cannot create non-material entities. Materialistic evolution cannot create the non-material laws and information in the universe. This dissertation does not employ a historical science approach to demonstrate this seemingly impossible ability of evolution, but rather an operational science approach. No person was there except God at the origin of the universe. We can only use what we see and have now in our reality. The laws of science, the non-material entities in the universe and life, according to Hooke's and other evolutionists, just evolved via their own efforts. They appear to have no understanding or comprehension of the immense complexities of information and non-material entities. In Genesis 1 and Psalm 33:6-9, the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus, as Lord, spoke the universe into existence by His great power through the breath of His Word, giving the universe all space, time, matter, and information. This dissertation will demonstrate that matter, mass and energy, and information are distinct entities. All information existed before the creation of the material universe, arising only from the biblical God, John 4:24. Information is a non-material entity, entirely separate from matter. The word non-material is used frequently in this dissertation. Information, being a non-material entity, has no material or physical existence. You cannot see, touch, smell, or taste it. You cannot weigh it on a scale like a bag of sugar or store it in your refrigerator. It is an essential part of our lives, and it has more importance and power than any physical or material entity in the universe. This dissertation will address the definition and scope of information as a non-material entity. Many important non-material entities exist in the universe. First and foremost is God and His created angels. Next is the spirit of man and the soul of life itself, which is the nephesh in Genesis 1, in both man and animals. Other non-material entities include the laws of science, such as the laws of mathematics, the law of physics, etc., logic, intelligence, consciousness, and thoughts, to name a few. Can these non-material entities be only the results of chemical actions of a material universe? No, they cannot, as material entities cannot create any non-material entities. It is interesting to note that the universe's most essential and useful laws and operations have no physical attributes, yet we rely on and use them every moment of our lives. So does every plant, insect, bird, and animal in existence. Nothing in the universe would be alive without information. In all life, there is an important molecule called deoxyribonucleic acid, DNA for short. DNA contains hereditary material in humans and almost all other organisms. Information is in all life, placed in the DNA molecule and the living cell, which exists in every plant, animal, and human being. DNA is the blueprint that tells cells how to grow, develop, reproduce, function, survive, and store an organism's hereditary information. It explains why a person grows up with the body of a human and not that of a carrot. However, information alone does not give humans and animals life and consciousness. On the fifth day of creation, God created life itself. He created the nephesh chaya, living souls, nephesh haya. Only man and the animals created on days 5 and 6 of creation have a nephesh chaya, making them living creatures who are biblically alive. Conversely, the secular world teaches that the universe came into existence through evolutionary processes, using matter, energy, random chance, and accidents over hundreds of millions of years. The scriptures state that the Lord spoke it into existence by the breath of His mouth, and He did it in 6 normal 24-hour days like we have today. Additionally, it states that He created it all ex nihilo, meaning out of nothing. What the secular world teaches and what the scriptures teach are vast worlds apart. A straightforward reading of the text of Genesis 1 reveals how God created the universe, and it is diametrically opposed to what is taught by man's evolutionary science. Not only does the biblical text state that the Lord spoke the creation into existence, but the order of events of His creation is 180 degrees opposite of the evolutionary sequence. Any person must necessarily ask themselves, do you trust and believe in God's knowledge or man's wisdom? Christians accept the Bible as their sufficient authority, and anything that contradicts Scripture is in error. This would include Darwinian evolution, resulting in the idea of billions of years of unguided random chance evolution. We are to take God at His word concerning origins, no matter what man teaches about the universe's origin. The Lord was there at the beginning, and man was not. The Lord's Word teaches us about the creation of the universe, the earth, and all life, as well as the time it took. For Christians, it does not matter what man believes about origins. It comes down to believing the infallible Word of God versus man's fallible word and wisdom. Additionally, we are required by God to defend His Word, including the teaching of the gospel, the creation of the universe, the earth, and all life. 1 Peter 3:15, John 1:3, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. Chapter 2,